Can I ask, though, our panellists to come up first and join me on the stage here? That's Auguste Colom, who's he's the Councillor for Tourism, Commerce and Markets for Barcelona City Council. Thank you. And then Juan Torrella, who is the Managing Director for Tourism de Barcelona. And then Ana Sanchez, who's the head of the Tourist Promotion Office for Barcelona Provincial Council. For those of you unfamiliar with the political structures around Catalonia, there is always a risk that you will get lost in the detail. So let me try and give a bit of clarity to begin with. There's Barcelona City, which is, I am about to get my map if I get lucky, will help this a lot. Let's start the other way around then. There's Spain, there's Catalonia, there's the province of Barcelona with a provincial government, there's the city of Barcelona, and within, or right next to the city of Barcelona, is another major municipality called Hospitalet. The challenge, I think, one of the challenges for Barcelona, and there are many, but one of the challenges is that whilst the city government controls what happens within the city boundaries of Barcelona and has some influence through the provincial structures, it does not control what happens in Hospitalet. And many tourists, I suspect, who visit Barcelona think they're staying in Barcelona when actually they're residing in Hospitalet. So if Barcelona restricts the building of hotels, for example, Hospitalet may continue to build hotels and may be very pleased that Barcelona has reduced the hotel building because Hospitalet are going to get more. Now, that's not a problem unique to Barcelona. It happens in other places too. However, it's probably particularly acute in Barcelona because of the fact that there's almost no identifiable boundary for a tourist between Hospitalet and Barcelona. So that's a challenge. The second, if you look at my slides, they're in a thing called Barcelona. The other challenge for Barcelona, and this is in common with other medium-sized cities like Barcelona, is particularly true, for example, of Venice, that Barcelona City has almost no influence over the port, no influence at all, really, over the airport, and no influence at all over the railway. And the railway line comes straight into the heart of Barcelona, just as the railway line in Italy goes straight into the heart of Venice. So it gets very large numbers of day trippers as well as the tourists, and it's very difficult for the city to manage those. And then, of course, there's the cruise lines and the road transport. And again, Barcelona is really on the receiving end of a lot of tourism, which it doesn't control. So, why have I gone to the trouble of putting on this special? To be honest, I was really nervous that nobody would come, because it's unusual for us to put on a panel entirely about one place and about one city and about talking about their strategies for dealing with one set of issues. It's interesting, I'm sure Auguste will probably mention this, but in some surveying recently, tourism was identified as the fourth most important problem in the city. An important problem, but only the fourth. There are other challenges for the city as well. I think Barcelona is special in regard to over-tourism for four reasons, basically. Very early recognition of the issue and the problem, going back to 2004. Probably more different approaches being used in Barcelona than anywhere else. It's an incredibly transparent city. So if you want to understand what's happening, there's an awful lot being published. It's very hard to find your way around it. And perhaps most important, a real determination on the part of the city not to scapegoat the tourist and tourism. Tourism is seen as an important part of the life of the city because tourists obviously include leisure tourists, business tourists, students, and so on. It's not just the leisure tourism. And as came out yesterday in the panel, those of you who were there, you know, there is a sense in which the bad behaviour of a few is used to characterise the behaviour of the many. So, Barcelona has a lot of different visitors who they want to treat as temporary citizens. You'll see when we go through the various strategies that they've used that they're strongly trying to avoid the creation of tourism ghettos or enclaves which are dominated by tourists. And they want to use tourism to contribute to the quality of life of citizens and the social cohesion of the city. And in that sense, Barcelona is absolutely in the tradition of responsible tourism, wanting to use tourism to make better places for people to live in and therefore to visit. So what we're going to do in a minute is to hear from three speakers who are going to speak for about 5 minutes each. Then I have some prepared questions which have been shared with the speakers, but we're going to go very quickly to the floor as well for your questions. So if I could first ask Augusti to speak, Augusti Colom, to speak on the political context of the development of tourism in Barcelona.
Okay, thank you, Harold. Since 1992, Barcelona has become a major tourist city. From around 3 million tourists in this year to more than 17 million today. This increase in tourists has affected and transformed the city's urban fabric, the mobility, the economic and social activities. Tourism has become an inherent and integral part of the city. For this, it needs a change in perspective regarding tourist policy. If in the past promotion was the center of the tourist policy, now management is the main axis. The most important decisions that made the new government are, first of all, we decide that we need to know better the reality of tourism in our city and to explain your dimension. For them, we create a tourist observatory. The second action, we agreed that what they call the urban plan for tourist accommodation in order to put in order the new tourist accommodation in the city. Where there is excessive tourist pressure in central area of the city, it's not possible to increase the amount of the new accommodation. The third action was to fight against illegal tourist apartments. This included carrying our inspections and imposing fines, but also reaching agreements with all the platforms to make sure they comply with the law. The last agreement is press release with an Airbnb platform. The fourth decision was to include the citizens. If tourism involves all the city, it's necessary and at the same time fair for all the cities of the city and not just the business sector to be able to participate in the debate about how to manage the tourism. So we create the Tourist Council. The Tourist Council is a forum for debate where public bodies, neighbors, associations, economic sector and experts can share their interests and make proposals for improving the development of Barcelona to this sector. To this council work in the idea to improve the public, private and community collaboration. This is a new idea for the new government, the idea to promote not only the public and private collaboration, it's the public, private and community collaboration. The fifth decision was elaborate the strategic tourist plan 2020, which focuses on the change of concept. The plan includes three main ideas. One idea from the promotion of tourists to the management of tourists in the city. Our tool is, in this sense, is Turisme de Barcelona, created in 1993 with Chamber of Commerce. It's necessary to do the promotion with the private sector, but I think under public leadership of all the administrations, including in this case the provincial council. This is a collaboration with only, not only with the public sector, also the collaboration with other administration in our area. They are basically the first idea. The second idea is work on sustainable and responsible tourism. That is to say, tourism which is compatible with the daily life of the neighbors. And finally, the third idea is work for to improve the benefits of tourism and to reduce the negative impact. It's necessary to balance the positive effects of tourism. The tourists create jobs, create activity, economic activity, but generate the negative externalities. And the idea is to reduce the negative impact for the tourists and promote the positive effects. More or less, this is the aspects are working in the last years about managing the tourists in the city of Barcelona.
Thanks very much indeed, Augusti. If we could move now to you, Juan Montarella, you're going to talk a little bit about the transition from promotion to management and this really big change that happened in Barcelona where the money began to be spent on the management of tourism in the city rather than promotion. So, over to you.
The history that the councillor has explained now has no more than 25 years, the history in Barcelona. And in fact, like he has said now, but Barcelona created the Consortium of Turismo de Barcelona, Chamber of Commerce and the City Council 25 years ago, in 1993. The first 15 years of the life of this consortium was focused on in the promotion of the city, in trying to improve the position of Barcelona as a city in the international context. 15 years doing promotion, increasing the number of tourists, increasing the number of infrastructures, growing together, supply and demand, more or less balanced situation. 10 years ago, appeared the first symptoms or the clear symptoms that the management of tourism in the city needs to be taken into account. Because not only with the promotion is possible to govern the tourism in the city, and then the first strategic plan of tourism facilitate different new tools for the governance of tourism in Barcelona. For me, the transition that Harold said in the short presentation is related with the different instruments for the governance of tourism in Barcelona. The first one have been the consortium of tourism, but the second one was when in 2010, more or less, the city council create a department of tourism with the aim to coordinate and boost the different policies within the city council related with the how manage the tourism in the city. After that, the city and Turismo de Barcelona and the provincial government agree a new framework of relation for increase the concept that Barcelona is not only one city, it's not only the 100 square kilometers around to rivers and the mountain and the sea. Barcelona as a tourist destination is more than the city. Barcelona is much more, was the brand that we create then in disagreement with the provincial government. That is another step, important step in this process. Later, City of Barcelona have created also the tourism council that the councillor have said. Now, this participatory body was another body, another place, another instrument of governance of city. There is now a discussion about the transformation of the DMOs towards DMMOs. A DMO, as you know, is Destination Marketing Organization, and Turismo de Barcelona, that I am now the managing director, is a DMO created for improve the marketing, for improve the position, international position in the city. But it's obvious that now that the management and marketing must to be together. And it's not a question to improve or to modify DMO becoming a DMMO. The question in Barcelona is that our DMMO is a system that includes all these bodies. Turismo de Barcelona now has the commitment to organize, to elaborate a new tourist marketing strategy for the Barcelona destination altogether, and implement and develop this strategy. But it's not a strategy for the consortium. It's a strategy for the whole of bodies that constitute the DMMO in Barcelona. Is in our challenge now, Harold, and this is exactly what we are trying to do. Not focus the promotion only in improve the number of tourism in Barcelona. Much more tourists is not necessarily better for the city now, and we need to improve the commitment between the promotion and the needs of the city to put the focus on this question and the improve the quality of life of the citizens in Barcelona. Promote the city is important, is necessary, but always in the context of a strategy for govern the city and to relate it with the management of the city. This is the challenge now. Harold?
Thanks very much indeed, Juan. We're going to come back to some of these issues, I think, when we come to the questions shortly. But before we do that, could we ask Ana Sanchez, who's going to talk about Barcelona is much more. I think there is a tendency to think of Barcelona in terms of a very few highlights, whereas in fact, as you saw from that graphic that was up in the previous presentation, those images, that graphing of where people are taking photographs, shows the extraordinary breadth mm-hmm. of what tourists find interesting to photograph in Barcelona. But Ana, over to you.
Thank you very much, Harold. Well, the main objective of the company I represent, the institution I represent, who is Diputación de Barcelona, the Barcelona Provincial Council, is to promote all these areas. It's area about 120 kilometers around the city of Barcelona, so you can go to the sea, to the Pyrenees, in more or less 1.5 hours, 2 hours at the farthest place. And I'm sure you know some of the villages here in the area of Barcelona, Sitges or Montserrat, or the villages on the coast, like Malgrat, Calella, Santa Susana, in Costa Barcelona. So we have a long tradition in tourism, longer than even the city of Barcelona, because we have some villages with a long tradition in our area. But in 2012, we had a new marketing plan, a new marketing touristic plan, and we create the slogan, the name Barcelona is much more, because it was important to make a link between the city and the surroundings. At the beginning, there was no complete strategy between the city and the surroundings. We have different strategies for promotion between the city and the surroundings. Our promotion was more focused in the European country, in the European market. And in the first moment, we link with the city of Barcelona and we say, okay, you know Barcelona, for our success, Barcelona has a wonderful experience for all kind of tourists, so you can come again to Barcelona and please discover that there is so much more. You have wineries, you have golf courses, you have traditions, you have the sea, you have the mountains, so you can come again to Barcelona, you can stay in Barcelona and do a trip outside, or you can stay outside and be calm in a rural farmhouse, or you can stay in a campsite or in a small hotel on the coast, and you can visit Barcelona just for a day or just for some hours. So you have a new portfolio of activities, a new portfolio of products of Barcelona to be together and to promote together. It was not at the beginning, it was not easy to collaborate all the institutions, but we made some steps, and the biggest steps we made and at 2017 it was to coordinate the two conventions bureaus and create just one convention bureau, the Barcelona Convention Bureau. And if I'm not wrong, it's the only convention bureau about the city and the area in all Europe. And now it's the first one at the ICA ranking. So we promote Barcelona with the Barcelona Turismo Convention Bureau altogether with the city and the surroundings of Barcelona, so there's new possibilities to come to do the meetings and incentives and events, and you can stay in the city of Barcelona and do a very big event, but you can stay also in a small venue outside Barcelona in a small cellar and really, really close to the city of Barcelona. We work with our private sector and our destinations in the province of Barcelona with our Circle of Tourism, which is a marketing platform we created in 2013 with three aims: to promote, to create the knowledge between our companies, and to promote also the relationship between them, so to promote the networking. So we are doing now good promotions with the city of Barcelona, and as we will said, we will have a new marketing plan for all together next year, and I'm sure we can do better promotion in the future time. Thank you.
Thanks, Anna. I admire the strategy, but I wonder, I mean, Barcelona has quite a high level of repeat visitor. Mm-hmm. And I understand that. I mean, it's a city which I'm fascinated by and will go back, I'm sure, many times. But surely most of the first-time visitors want to do the two or three real hotspots of Barcelona. Do you think you really can encourage enough people to go to the other parts of the province?
I'm sure we can. We can inspire our tourists to go outside the city of Barcelona, but we also can inspire to visit other parts of Barcelona. And for now, the social networks and the net is now a huge tool for promotion. When some of our visitors go to a small village 20 minutes to Barcelona and they say, okay, I'm in Barcelona, I am acting like a local, I am buying at the local market, I am visiting a small museum, and I can go to Barcelona afterwards with public transport. And when they are suggesting these things to their family and relatives by the social networks, they are doing the promotion, so I'm sure we can do that.
Whichever. Go for it.
No, I think that it's in this way it's important to our position, that considering Barcelona as a entrance gate in a major land around the city. Barcelona has a high capacity of attract people, attract visitors, attract talent, attract companies, attract events. And the success of Barcelona can be its own threat, and we need to spread around the city this question, this success. And the agreement with the governor of the province is essential for that. It's essential for our own survival, because we need to spread that, spread this wealth. And in fact, Turismo de Barcelona as a consortium now is a common tool for that. Is a common for Chamber of Commerce, for the City Council, and also for the provincial government, who trust in us, for example, the Convention Bureau that Anna said, and other programs related with the spreading tourists around the city.
Augustine.
Yes. This is a strategical action for Barcelona. Barcelona... to practice the disconcentration, not only in the central area, to the disconcentration out of Barcelona. The half, more or less, tourists that visit Barcelona for 2, 3, or 4 times. It's not the first time. It's important for these tourists. Normally, we suppose these tourists know the Sagrada Familia, know the Ramblas, know the tourist icons of Barcelona. For manager the tourists, the idea is disconcentrate it not only in the central area, it's they are in other areas out of Barcelona. The tourists promote in the activity economic, But for Barcelona, it's the gateway to entrance in Barcelona. But for Tudis, the Tudis area of Barcelona, it's not only the streets of the Barcelona Hospitalet. No, normally the Tudis don't know if in the Fira hotel it's Barcelona or not. No, for this is basically to promote and to coordinate with the provincial government to promote the idea that Barcelona is more than your streets.
Augusti, I understand and I applaud that, but surely the reality is all those people who are going to stay in Hospitalet are going to want to come and see the honeypot sites in Barcelona. I think that's the challenge. That people want to go and see. And it started with the Olympics, with those incredible photographs in the background of the events. It's going to take a long time. Anyway, good luck. I think it's a real struggle, and it's not going to happen easily.
I try. We try.
Martin, I'd quite like... Is there somebody with a roving mic, please? If there is nobody with a roving mic, I'll come and rove with the mic. Great. Martin, you and I had an incredible two or three days in Barcelona. Do you want to just say something about how you felt about the challenge and the way it was being approached in Barcelona, and then we'll get back into the detail?
Well, I didn't expect to be asked to do this at this particular juncture, but I will have a go. I think... What is so remarkable about Barcelona compared with other places is their serious attempt to integrate tourism into the activities of the city. That tourism isn't a separate thing, but it is actually part of the process of governing and managing the whole city. And that's what struck me most when we went. It was a most remarkable visit. And in fact, this new document, which I was given just yesterday on Barcelona 2020, demonstrates precisely that. I don't think I've ever come across a document which sets out so clearly all the interlinking, integrating factors. It's a very serious piece of work and should be much admired. I'm still left, having read that document yesterday, with a particular question, which perhaps I could ask now. Sure. The thing about having, like with the Tourism Council, it's a participatory body, you have the possibility of having such an open, collaborative approach that you will create paralysis. And I'm wondering what strategies you have for ensuring that actually you make real progress on the areas of mobility and other areas that you have wanted to concentrate upon. So that's my question.
Thanks, Martin. What I'm going to try to do over the next 25 minutes is to go through each of these 10 parts of the strategy, and it starts with governance. And one of the things which is really striking about Barcelona is that its heritage of Franco, the struggle for independence and development since, has left Barcelona with a really vibrant city democracy of a kind that you see rarely around the world. It's interesting for me that one of the other places which is managing over tourism very well, Kerala in India, has a similar vibrant local democratic set of structures. And I'm increasingly thinking that your democratic... Well, you don't have an inheritance of democracy. You've created democracy in response to your inheritance. We should put it the right way around. But those very strong democratic institutions, the idea that the head of the private sector of tourism in Barcelona can be held to account in a public forum by the citizens of Barcelona, which is what happens in the Tourism Council, is an extraordinary thing internationally. How important do you think that is to... addressing these multiple challenges which you perceive and are right to perceive in the development of responsible tourism in Barcelona?
In fact, the participatory body is a tool that represents a part of our process in this question. In fact, as I said before, after the promotion era, we discovered the need to manage the tourism in the city. This expression, manage tourism in the city, means in some way to differentiate between tourist and city, or between tourist and citizens. Now we are talking about to manage the city with tourism. That means tourism is involved in all the different areas and all the different strategies that the city has. When we talk about the tourist mobility strategy, we are talking about how the strategy of mobility in the city involves or includes the mobility of tourists. It's not a separate one. It's not another strategy. When we talk about the territorial tourism strategy, we are talking about how each one of the 10 districts in Barcelona involves their own population in the complexity of tourism. And in fact, we are convinced that tourism and city are the same thing. We are talking constantly that city is tourism, and tourists build the city in some way. Barcelona is now like is because has tourism. And tourism in Barcelona is like is because Barcelona is Barcelona. And this is a binomium and impossible to separate that changes absolutely the perspective from we are working in Barcelona tourism. The Tourist Council is an expression of that. Is a formal tool where the participation has category of policy, but not only this is the space for participating or make this debate about around tourism. In fact, tourism and city is a debate in absolutely spread in our society, and Barcelona needs to consider that a tourist who is in Barcelona is a citizen more with rights and duties, and we need to include them like a citizen more. No? I'm not sure if I answered your question, but this is the
reason I think this is important, and we'll move on, but I think Martin's point is right. You have adopted a highly integrated approach to thinking about the role of tourism in the city, and by taking the management of tourism back into the city government, you've involved all the different departments in managing tourism. Now, academics have been talking about that for a long time, but as far as I know, Barcelona is the only place where this has happened. They talk about it in South Africa the whole time. They talk about a whole of government approach. Tony Blair in Britain used to keep talking about joined up government. But it's very rare to see that anywhere in the world. And to see it done in tourism is even rarer. All I'm saying is, as we listen to this, we need to recognise that your democratic structures are very important to the success of this process.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is that fair, Augustine?
Yeah. Yes. Every day in Barcelona, the tourist is more or less and 10 and 15% more the citizens, but these citizens are temporary citizens, but they are citizens. In any case, these tourists have the same behavior of the residents. In the summer, they go to the beach, in the same case of the residents, and use the same buses, the public transport. So it's necessary to think in this case which it's possible to compatibilize the behavior of the tourists, the temporary citizens, with the residents citizens. They are other cats and they are alternative behavior. If for this, the idea that the manager of the city is the manager of the city with tourists, with their behaviors the same, but others behaviors it's necessary to manage. If manager the city It's only possible to manage it in democratic sense, because the tourism is not the question. It's not only the economic question. It's a social question. It's a cultural question. They are positive elements, but they are affectations, no, or other residents. It's necessary to debate together and to make visible that these they are elements. It's in favor of the residents. Now, rehabilitation the cultural buildings for using the tax, the tourist tax. The tourist tax for us is an important element to move the benefits of the tourists in the city. It's the citizens. It's necessary wash the tourists, create also positive elements for the city. In this case, the decision is a democratic decision. It's a debate in the tourist council. Is the space when it's possible to meet the different interests and to try find the solutions in this complex question.
Thanks very much indeed. We're going to move on quite quickly. This next part of it is about knowledge. And for those of you teaching universities or who are interested in understanding the dynamics, I can't emphasise enough how much information is there in the public domain. And one of the reasons for that is you can't have an informed democratic debate about how to manage tourism in the city without putting that information out there. And because Barcelona is an incredibly cosmopolitan city, it's one of the reasons I enjoy going there. It is cosmopolitan. It's Catalan, but it is cosmopolitan as well. Is a lot of it is in English. Not all of it, unfortunately. But a lot of the information is available in English. So if you are teaching about over-tourism or the dynamics of tourism development in the city, Barcelona is the place to go, I think, in terms of having a set of materials to use with your students. Can I take us on, though, to the third pillar of the strategy, which is this notion of the broader destination? 10 Barcelonas you sometimes talk about.
Okay.
We saw an image earlier in the presentations of the map of Barcelona with those strong red dots where the photographs have been taken. And what that shows is actually, even without your efforts, Anna, the tourists are finding large parts of Barcelona. Now, I suspect that that's partly driven by people moving out to stay in Airbnbs out in the suburbs or in the other districts. We'll come back to Airbnb. Let's not talk about that now. But it is very interesting, isn't it, that you've been able to use social media and user-generated content to identify new tourist attractions, some of which I suspect you didn't know about.
Sure. We are just searching for new targets and new segments of tourists to come to the area of Barcelona. And now we are working this 2019. We will work with Curious People Tourism. Is a change about the cultural tourism and how you can go to the area of Barcelona and find a small museums or be have a guided route with an architect for the buildings in the area of Barcelona, for the heritage of Gaudí or Domènec i Montaner outside the city of Barcelona. So part of our work is to be continuously working in finding this new tourists for the area of Barcelona and inspiring them. Luckily, the Diputación de Barcelona doesn't do the commercialization of the products. We only promote our area, and we can invite our guests to come to the area and discover this big Barcelona. So we have to find continuously these new ways to come.
Can we move on to the fourth one, if I may, which is the mobility issue? One of the things which is impressive about Barcelona is you're part of the Smart Cities movement, and you put a lot of effort over the years into developing public transport systems and co-locating residences with commercial and to some extent light industrial opportunities as well. The notion that people can lead their lives within one of the districts of the city and not travel, as we do in London, often for an hour and a half each mm-hmm. way to go to work. Was that done for tourism or was that done for the residents of Barcelona? Which came first? Was it done for the residents or for the tourists?
I think that is a good example of the previously I have said that mobility as a municipal and city policy is integrated both tourists and citizens. In fact, 80%, more than 80% of tourists who visit Barcelona arrives to our city through the airport. That means that the majority has not their own transport and needs to use the public system of transport in the city. In fact, the behavior or the patterns of mobility from the tourists are even more sustainable than the citizens of Barcelona, because more than 70% use underground, metro, and walking Barcelona. Barcelona is a walkable city, and it's easy to move within walking in the city. That is a really sustainable system for paradoxically more sustainable than the citizens one. We have identified the figure that the councilor have said before, that the people moving in Barcelona constantly, the average during the year is 10% of our population. That means that the city has structurally a 10% more the inhabitants constantly. Our system transport need to take into account this increase of population, and luckily the hours that the visitors use the public system, the transport system, is not the same, except in some raw hour after lunch probably, but is a complementary with that. The debate in Barcelona now is about the price of the transport public, and because it's subsidized for the governments and for the citizens, and the price in tourism is buying the ticket transport at the same price of the citizen. Here we have now a key question for solving, but the analysis of mobility have identified that this is a good system of moving Barcelona for tourists, integrated absolutely in the moving in the citizens.
So Barcelona, the citizen and the tourist pays the same price for public transport. Because there are places where the tourists get it cheaper, which I find extraordinary, but there we go. People do that. Can we move on then to the real, what I think was the original flashpoint in Barcelona, the accommodation issue. Because it's in the accommodation that the interaction between the tourists and people when they're at home, not in public spaces, but in their homes, where those conflicts really come to the floor. And in Barceloneta, we know that a lot of those flats became rented flats for tourists, and then you get a massive conflict between the use the tourists are using those places for, much of which is for very noisy partying, and people who are living there trying to bring up their children, go to work in the morning, need to be able to sleep at night. Those conflicts were very stark in Barcelona, and I think that was one of the major causes of the conflicts on the street about tourists. Can you just go through briefly, because you've done a lot of things, but just briefly the way in which that issue of the illegal accommodations has been dealt with in Barcelona?
In Barcelona, in the last years, stopped the increase of the flats, the tourist flats in the city. In this moment, they are 9,000, more or less, legal apartments. The problem is they are more or less in the beginning of the beginning in the new government. They are a lot of apartments. They are illegal because the new licenses it's stopped. Our action is to fight against this illegal, because in the case of the illegal, it's not possible to manage it, because it's in it's not in legal space. It's not new. What is the apartment? No? We have a successful in this action. In this moment, the illegal is reduced to 100, more or less. And this is the main focus to the problems with the president. It's sure they are the flat in the same building provoke, in any case, problems with noise or with other aspects with the community of the people. But in this moment, it's to make an agency to intermediate in this case when it is the problem the noise, problem the conflict in the relation with the residents, to try to find the solutions with this question. No? But the case of the legal to these apartments, it's not a big don't exist a big number of the problems with the residents. Exists a small number of the situations of the conflict, but this situation have a big it's considered for the residents with a big problem. No? So it's necessary, and with I hope with this new agency to resolve this small number of the conflicts, but have a big problem for the community.
Yeah, and Barcelona has introduced a whole series of different management strategies for this. There's a residence hotline that you can call if you've got a problem with noise coming from a tourism place, and the city government will intervene. There is a website where if you're a tourist, you can check whether your accommodation is licensed or not. They've done inspections. You've got a big inspection force now working with the tax authorities to make sure that these privately rented accommodations, which are not licensed, are paying tax and so on. It's been a very rich program of response to this, but I think it's too complex to go into in great detail now. It's almost a field on its own, but the whole question of how you manage the disintermediated accommodation is a big challenge in most cities now. But what I'd like to do is move us on from the private spaces, the accommodation, to the public spaces. And maybe contrast two places, if I may. That I will say this wrong, but the Parc Güell, which is this wonderful park up with a view. Now, very interestingly, there, the city government has imposed a charge on tourists and a cap on the numbers of tourists who can be there at any time, but at the same time made it free for residents. So you've got, very interesting. This is obviously a closed space. It's a park, but it's got free access for the locals, but controlled and paid for access for tourists. Now, you can do that because you've got a fence around it. It's a fenced park. And then you've got the old city where there are still people living, which attracts very large numbers of tourists, but where there are no gates and no fences. So these are open spaces. Mm-hmm. How has that been handled? How have those decisions been made in Barcelona about how to manage those very different districts within the city?
It's obvious that I think that is a common problem, a common situation in all the cities in Europe, that the hot spots, the most important icons, are desired and attractors of visitors, and the people, everybody wants to visit the same place at the same time, and that, as a consequence, has overcrowding situations around these icons. Being a general problem in different cities, even being a general problem in Barcelona concretely, I think that there are not one solution for all places. Each place needs a particular strategy differently than others, and you are quote now Parkway, for example, is one of them in Barcelona. It's an important place, really an important attractor of visitors. And in this case, the solution is to close a small space. In fact, it's only 7% of the surface that the park, who is considered a monumentally space, that is closed, and we need pay for entry. No, it's not exactly that you say. For citizens or for Barcelonians is free or not. It's free for everybody who has a ticket or an ID that everybody can acquire being in Barcelona more than 7 days. I need to go personally to pick up my card, and 7 days after, you are able to enter in the Parkway free with this strategy, because the European law impedes us to differentiate between European citizens. We need a strange strategy, imaginary for doing that. But it's the case of Parkway. In other places, for us, the question is how to organize the governance in each one of these places, and in which way are involving the population around this place. Sagrada Familia is another one. And another characteristic specific in Barcelona is that this kind, this kind of places are in the middle of the residential areas, impossible to close because the people is living there, is entering and going out from home. And we need to manage the situation in the middle of the normal life of citizens without has the possibility to close this space. And that means that in each case, we need to involve the associations, the neighbor associations, the population that feels affected for that, and including in the solution.
And if I may, we also have to do this with the tour operators and the travel companies, because they are keys for moving people in the city and the area of Barcelona.
That brings me on very neatly to the next one I want to look at. I'm going to just skip the economic development because you are really working very hard at that, but I don't think it's that different from other places necessarily. But I wanted to come on to the communications and the welcome, because you are using this as a way of bringing people into the notion of temporary residence, and you're using it to try and affect their behaviour. So whenever I've talked with various people in the government in Barcelona, you talk, for example, of the problem of the cafe terraces and the colonization of the pavement, which is actually a problem for everyone in Barcelona, but particularly people with pushchairs and the elderly and disabled who can't easily use the footpaths if they're clogged up. Mm-hmm. And you've done some interesting things to get those people into the streets and to keep the pavements open. But part of it is about changing the tourist behaviour, isn't it? That communication and welcome has the objective of managing tourism. So promotion has begun to be used for management.
Yeah,
do you want to just say a little about that?
Absolutely. Our promotion also has to be sustainable. That's why the city and the area of Barcelona, we have the biosphere certificate, and we also have the commitment for the sustainability and the responsible tourism for us and even for our companies and the small destinations in the area of Barcelona. And we also ask our tourists to be responsible and sustainable in their behaviors in the area of Barcelona. So there's a mutual responsibility. We want to promote Barcelona, the greater Barcelona, as a region prepared for sustainable tourism.
In the area of communication, I think it's important to demand to this your responsibility in your behavior. No? In the last summer, launched a campaign, an interesting campaign, about the illegal apartments put in the put and bed in the street, and demand to the tourists choose the legal bed and refuse the illegal bed. No? It's also in the idea of the sustainable in the tourists. It's also the responsibility, and the tourists have the possibility to help the destination to make the fair decision. No? The fair tourists, it's not only a question of the destination. It's and the business sector and the residents. It's a question also of the tourists, in, and when they choose what they decide. No? It's their commitment with the tourists.
Thanks very much indeed for that. I'm going to just briefly mention the other two pillars, and then I want to come straight away for questions. There's a whole element within the strategic plan around taxation, which I don't think we should sensibly go into now, but it's important to read about it if you're interested in it. Obviously, there's considerable debate going on in many cities now about the role of taxation, but taxation and funding are important parts of the strategy. And the latter part, and this is particularly important, once you decide, it seems to me, as a city government, that tourism is something which is fundamental to the city and the city needs to manage it, then inevitably you start to look at regulation and planning specifically for tourism. But of course, in many destinations around the world, regulation and planning isn't looked at for tourism. And that's a challenge. I've lost count of the number of times I've been to see city planners who say, we don't plan tourism. And the consequences of that are going to be very obvious. I'm going to, if I may now, move to some questions from the floor. So who has the first question? Is there somebody? There was, and then she ran away. Who's got the hand? Can we just see the hands again? Go to this gentleman here, and then we'll come back to you.
Cool.
Thank you very much. I had a question for the panel. You were talking about spreading out tourism outside the main city. We're really seeing now in the digital world how fast things change and how things become viral. So if a campaign like this would succeed, would the city be able to manage or handle masses of people in terms of transportation, accommodation, or food and beverage for these big numbers of tourists?
I think the question is there any ultimate limit to the number of tourists you could take in Barcelona?
Well, I'm sure it is, but we only want to inspire people to come to the area of Barcelona, not just in one moment. If there's a football match in Barça, Madrid, in Barcelona, I'm sure you want to come, and there's only one day at the year, but we promote all the area all year round. So you can come and visit Barcelona many times a year. So I don't think that a specifically campaign can do a very massive visiting to our destination. I'm sure in summer we'll be very busy at the beaches and maybe in the city when we have some events like Sonar or Primavera Sound or something like that.
Anna,
but I don't think it must be massive.
Anna, one of the things which has not been mentioned, and it's remiss of me, is that you now actually publish a monthly forecast of how busy the city will be. So a resident can go onto your website and look up which are going to be the days when you don't go
yes.
into the city.
Okay.
That's a remarkable new innovation, I think. It'll be interesting to see if other cities do it. Juan, you want to come
in? I think that in this question there are at least two specific problems that we need to improve and we need to solve. Because promote, in terms of promotion or communication, to explain that Barcelona is much more is important and is not so difficult, but we are doing that. The problem is the governance of the land, because it's extraordinarily fragmented in different municipalities and different administrations,
sure.
and the topics like the mobility that we said before, or the transportation, are the challenge for facilitate to go from the city to other places around the city. If the infrastructures don't facilitate that, the promotion it's not useful. And Barcelona, as have been explained before, in the middle of a metropolitan area, is involved in the different municipalities with competence diverses, with governments different, and this is the real challenge for us, is to make coincide the promotion that we are doing in the places specific around Barcelona, and which is the way for arriving.
Yes, we have 310 municipalities around the city of Barcelona, and we also have to coordinate it with the Catalan government, so we have to promote it all together.
First of all, thank you very much for all the work you're doing, because it's helping other people, and also to Harold, because he publishes splendid synoptic documents about it, which people who are interested in managing tourism can refer to with great benefit. Now, first of all, my commendation on government working together. Secondly, great that you're dispersing people, because you've got the good fortune of having the assets close to the core. But the red lines are still the red lines. And as fast as you send people out, the growth of global tourism is send more people in. It seems to me that in the whole of the world, the biggest challenge in free societies is the one that you have in the historic city. It's that you cannot separate residents and business people from tourists, and there is almost no management going on globally of this overpressure. Managing spaces is one thing, managing the tourist is another, where they are driven by commercial pressures. And it seems to me that work has to be done on spreading the load by time, by place, by length of stay, by changing the experience in those places, mm-hmm. or there is no solution, because the bucket will be topped up as fast as you manage to move people out at the bottom.
Definitely agree.
It's true that tourism is a global phenomenon, and we are trying managing locally. And the tools that the city has for manage this tsunami are limited. You are absolutely agree with you that it's really difficult to fight against the commercial trends in this way. And everybody wants to visit the main icons in the city. Everybody wants to go to Sagrada Familia in Barcelona, even the people who has repeat their visit already, not only the first time. And this is a pressure that is impossible to manage successfully from any city, I think. And the tools that the city has, the cities in general have for managing this kind of pressure, I think that means or needs a global reflection about that, not in the urban on the local level, because probably the biggest trends or the biggest pressures promoted from the commercial circuits are in complicating the life in the cities, and is a question on the table, in my opinion, but really has not answered from one city.
Good afternoon. My name is Stacy Mitchell. I am the director of tourism for the Florida Keys in Key West, which is a very ecological sensitive area. My question is, how did you work with the residents to accept tourism as a positive thing? How did you convince them that tourism at manageable levels was positive for the city, the province, and the different areas?
I think there's an incredible cultural divide in that question, but
I struggle with that. That's why I'm asking.
Yeah, I think you may struggle to understand the question from Barcelona, but please go ahead.
Our reports show the majority of the residents have a good value about the tourists. 85% of the residents think the tourist is positive for Barcelona. So they are a good value above to this. But in the same time, the more or less the half percent of the citizens think it's necessary to manage it. It's necessary to put limits. In the same reports for the cities, for the tourists, they value, your value of Barcelona, it's also higher, no? Your value is 8 to 10 above the Barcelona. But the same tourists think they are space, they are areas, they are a lot of tourists. So it's necessary to manage this situation. It's good if they obtain the positive elements of the tourists and use the tourist tax to rehabilitation space of the city, the tourist financing not only more the activity necessary to attend of the tourists, if it is necessary to promote heritage in the city with the tax to generate the new space, to recuperate the space in the city for the citizens, but it's possible to use for the tourists. The idea is it's not think the city for only the tourists, think the city for the residents, but if the city is attractive for residents, it's attractive for tourists.
Can we take one last question and then we're going to go to the video and then close?
Is there any collaboration between the businesses from Barcelona and the surroundings to get the tourists out of Barcelona to the surroundings? You're doing a lot of work, but are the businesses doing anything?
In fact, the consortium as Turismo de Barcelona, as a consortium as composed by Chamber of Commerce and the City Council, this consortium has more than 1,500 members involved in the different programs, taking to advantage of the economical and the market possibilities, but also committed with the sustainable policies promoted from the city. The involvement of businesses is essential for all of our policies because trying to make aware the clients, trying to transform the product or the supply in sustainable supply for the city, especially to explain him the model of the value of the city around the businesses are absolutely key for our situation. In fact, that the consortium is mixed private and public body ensures for us this kind of involvement in the city policies, and we are trying to spread over that not only the promotion but also innovate new products that adapt better the demand with the city that can offer really. I think that is a triangle between, as the Councillor said before, the administration, the private sector and businesses, and the community, not only neighbours, also academy, associations, etc.
Thanks very much indeed for that. Could we thank the panel in the traditional way? I think it's been a very interesting session and we're very grateful for it.